In recent years, the average attention span has become shorter and shorter. We can blame the trend on social media, mobile devices, or any number of things. But what's important to understand is how this behavior produces unwanted results. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll explains the impact on our churches. To accommodate a preoccupied audience, many pastors are truncating their sermons and filling their time with fun little stories. Well, the church was never designed for entertainment, and today Chuck points out the danger of consumer Christianity. We begin by reading the selected passage together.
Well, I'd like you to blow the dust off of a prophet named Ezekiel and turn to chapter 33. It's in the Old Testament. That was meant to be funny. You know it's in the Old Testament. You're turning. I hear three people turning to the book of Ezekiel. It's interesting. There are some books of the Bible that are just totally unfamiliar to most individuals. Ezekiel would qualify. Leviticus would be another. People desire to read their Bible through, and they get to Leviticus, and you could hear the brakes screech as they get discouraged. Another would be among the minor prophets, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi. Ezekiel is one of those prophets who ministered to people in the exile. Israel had ignored God's warnings over and over and over again. Finally, he pulled the plug, and in marched the army of the Babylonians, destroyed the temple, tore down the walls that protected the city, and sacked Jerusalem. The people were led off in heartbreaking disappointment and shock to live in another land, another culture, another language called the exile, the Babylonian exile. God raised up Ezekiel to preach to them who were in that exile. We're going to read interesting verses in verses 30 through 33 of this 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Beginning at verse 30 of Ezekiel 33, "Son of man, your people talk about you in their houses, and they whisper about you at the doors. And they say to each other, 'Come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying.' So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice, or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. But when all these terrible things happen to them, as they certainly will, then they will know a prophet has been among them."
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Discouraging Signs of a Dying Ministry.
My message represents a concern I've had for a number of weeks. It is so deep that I've interrupted our series that I'm engaged in, which is a rarity on my part, and we have moved away from Matthew today to address this concern. Let me give you the background. I'll kind of set the table for the message. Recently, our church sponsored a nationwide conference on grandparenting. It was called Legacy Grandparenting Summit. It was a pleasure to meet many new friends and some I've known for years. I would say most, if not everyone in attendance, was a grandparent longing to be instructed and encouraged, and I would add energized, so that we might fulfill the role of grandparenting in a better way, in a way that would really contribute to the lives of those who will stand on our shoulders and live on with us in their memory. One of the most significant adults in my wife's life was her maternal grandmother, after she, as a four-year-old girl, experienced their house burning to the ground in the little town of Tyler. They moved in with her invalid grandmother and grandfather, and there they lived for 2 years, and those 2 years transformed my wife's life. The most significant adult in my life was a grandfather, my maternal grandfather, L.O. Lundy, in the little town of El Campo, where he was the justice of the peace. And for some reason, by the grace of God, he took a special liking for me, even when I wasn't all that easy to like. And he looked past all of that and loved me and meant more to me than I can today even describe. So grandparenting is important to the Swindolls, but more importantly, grandparenting is important to God. So it was a joy to share our church with these many people who, interestingly, many of them came early to attend our services here at Stonebriar, and a number of them, a few, the same ones, stayed later to attend yet again. What's interesting on top of that is many of them stayed for both services, and they just drank it in. The line was long following each of those worship services, and I stayed right there, as did Cynthia, meeting different ones. And what we found interesting was their repeated comment, though they didn't know each other. When I had the chance and they had the chance, we had the chance to talk together, virtually the same words came out. We love this church. The warmth of your staff and your pastors and your congregation, the friendliness that you have, the harmony is just, for a church this size, they said, we just have not seen that much. And then, of course, they commented on the great music. Almost without exception, they no longer enjoy at their church great music. For many of them, their church is dying. And as they said, also, they once were the recipients of strong pulpit messages and teaching during the adult times with adult teachers, but no longer. One man wrote and said to me, I remember years ago when our pastor was a faithful expositor, and he began to drift from that. And the time he left, I looked forward to the new man who would come and bring strength to the pulpit and conviction and depth in the teaching of the word. And he said, to my disappointment, he was weaker than the one who left. As a matter of fact, last Sunday's sermon was about 11 and a half minutes long, full of simple stories and silly jokes. So it became a concern to me as I began to listen to them, especially as they spoke in all honesty of their part in the problem, they let that happen. They watched it happen, and erosion that is always slow and subtle and silent, as it begins to take its toll, they sat back and accepted it. And before they realized it, everything had changed. Let me say two things so that you understand. I'm not making this up. In fact, it is so vivid in my mind, I couldn't get it out of my mind to prepare for another message from the Gospel of Matthew. I had to address this. Because what we have is not a guarantee we'll always have it. Never forget that. And the second thing I want to say is that I'm not telling you this to leave an impression that we're the only ones doing it right. You know better than that, and I certainly do. We're one among a number of churches that are healthy and wholesome. Their styles of worship may be somewhat different than ours, but they are solid as rock. When the pulpit speaks, it speaks with authority, and the Bible is faithfully opened, and the teaching of the Word is strong. I'm grateful for everyone, but unfortunately, they are the exception. They're not the rule. The grandparents who stood before me were not longing for the days back in the 50s or the 60s, just because there was something great about those old days. There was nothing great about old days. What was great was the truth that had been established in the formation of their church. Ours is a dark era of a dying church. The one place in society that was meant to be a place where truth was told uninterrupted, and where a declaration was made faithfully regarding the voice of God speaking to the hearts of women and men, teenagers and children. The church was often the very center of communities. It was there, if not any other place, there you could rely on a faithful message from the book of God to be set forth and to be believed, and the result to have your life transformed. Go to some of the places in the old world and you will see the churches, though now they are empty, but you will see churches established right in the center of that community, because it was there you could count on a word from God. In the church, there is the freedom of an uninterrupted declaration of truth that is not politically correct, where God speaks and we all sit in silence and let Him speak, knowing that what He tells us is always right. Even though the spokesman is certainly fallible and will often make mistakes in his or her life, those who declare the truth from the Scriptures are those most respected, or once were most respected. But now, most of that has changed. And therein lies the tragedy. I did some research, and I read these statements without apology for their length, but because they represent what I'm trying to say in my own halting way, perhaps what one of these individuals writes will strike a note in your own heart. Walt Kaiser, the distinguished professor of Old Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary in New England, author of several fine books and a personal friend of mine whom I deeply respect, writes this in a book titled Toward an Exegetical Theology. Listen to Kaiser. It's no secret that Christ's church is not at all in good health in many places of the world. She has been languishing because she has been fed junk food, all kinds of artificial preservatives, and all sorts of unnatural substitutes have been served up to her. As a result, theological and biblical malnutrition has afflicted the very generation that has taken such giant steps to make sure its physical health is not damaged by using food or products that are carcinogenic or otherwise harmful to their physical bodies. Simultaneously, a worldwide spiritual famine resulting from the absence of any genuine proclamation of the Word of God continues to run wild and almost unabated in most quarters of the church. He continues, I've been aware for some time now of a gap. Hear this well. I've been aware for some time now of a gap that has existed in academic preparation for the ministry. It is the gap that exists between the study of the biblical text and the actual delivery of messages to God's people. Very few centers of biblical training have taken the time to show the student how one moves from analyzing the text over to constructing a sermon that accurately reflects that same analysis and is directly dependent upon it. What Kaiser is saying is that the study of the text may be solid and sure, but somehow in preparing the spokesperson for the delivery of the message, there's a breakdown. And even though in the study great treasures are discovered, great truths are set forth, somehow in the sermon, the one who delivers the message now feels the need to entertain or to say things in a way that won't affect or offend anybody so that the word is watered down and often cut short because, as I've been told again and again, people's attention is shaped by television. You can't hold their attention for much more than 15 minutes. Funny. For 18 years, I've been holding your attention for 45 minutes to an hour, and only a few of you walk out. Amazing. Why? Because you hunger for the truth, and you know that much of it cannot be delivered in a little 15-minute burst of stories and jokes. Dr. Kaiser is spot on. The problem goes all the way back to the training of today's minister. If he is not trained to analyze carefully the scriptures and then to build a bridge from that to the sermon, to the people, then he will turn to junk food and get his information from current events or hunches or ideas or some entertaining source. Albert Mohler Jr., the president of Southern Seminary, the Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, writes, "The last few decades have been a period of wanton experimentation in many pulpits. One of the most troubling developments is the decline and eclipse of expository preaching. Numerous influential voices within evangelicalism are suggesting that the age of the expository sermon is now past. In its place, some contemporary preachers now substitute messages intentionally designed to reach secular or superficial congregations. Messages that avoid preaching a biblical text and thus avoid a potentially embarrassing confrontation with biblical truth." He writes in his book, he is not silent. Kent Hughes, former senior pastor of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, writes in his fine work, Disciplines of a Godly Man, "Many Christians have never thought through the meaning and importance of worship. It is not an overstatement to say that our pleasure-centered culture has produced many who work at their play and play at their worship. Why this confusion and tragic failure regarding worship, the unspoken but increasingly common assumption of today's Christendom is that worship is primarily for us to meet our needs. Such worship services are entertainment focused, and the worshipers are uncommitted spectators who are silently grading the performance. Even this perspective, correction, from this perspective, preaching becomes a homiletics of consensus, preaching to felt needs, man's conscious agenda instead of God's. Such preaching is always topical, never textual. Biblical information is minimized. Sermons are short, full of stories. Anything and everything that is suspected of making the marginal attender uncomfortable is removed from the worship service. Taken to the nth degree, this philosophy instills a tragic self-centeredness. That is, everything is judged by how it affects people. This terribly corrupts one's theology. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, now deceased, 30 years, pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, writes, "When the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to her message, though she may hate it at first." Francis Schaeffer, now deceased, of La Brie Fellowship, "Here is the great evangelical disaster. The failure of the evangelical world to stand for truth as truth. There is only one word for this, namely accommodation. The evangelical church has accommodated to the world spirit of the age." Woodrow Kroll, when he was the speaker on Back to the Bible, writes, "When the church becomes an entertainment center, Bible literacy is an early casualty. People go away from the event with a smile on their faces, but a void in their lives." Richard Halverson, while chaplain of the U.S. Senate, wrote, "In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. Then the church moved to Greece, where it became a philosophy. Then it moved to Rome, where it became an institution. Next, it moved to Europe, where it became a culture. And finally, it moved to America, where it has become an enterprise." Sounds like a prophet, doesn't he? Back to Albert Mohler for one further and final word from him. "We live," he writes, "in an era of spiritual death. The rebellion of humanity against God has now progressed so far that most cannot even remember the God they chose to disregard and disobey. Our culture is surviving on the residue of a Christian worldview, a culture that now thinks of God as no more than a nice concept. Even among our churches, there are many in whom the scent of death is present. Statistics indicate that between 70 and 80% of our churches have plateaued or they are declining in attendance. Even worse, many churches are not only in decline, but also in spiritual dissipation. Lacking spiritual energy and devoid of biblical knowledge and conviction, many of our churches wear the pallor of death. Spiritually, our culture has wasted away to nothing, nothing but a valley of dry bones."
Chuck Swindoll is building a compelling case for the demise of the contemporary church and our personal role in upholding the biblical model. He's titled today's message, Discouraging Signs of a Dying Ministry. To purchase the CDs for this series or find downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org and look for the series called Cultivating a Dynamic Ministry. Now, to deepen your understanding of this important topic, I'm pleased to say that Insight for Living has set aside a special CD message for you, delivered by Chuck on a very similar theme. It's called Body Life at Its Best. On this CD, Chuck provides the biblical model for the modern-day church family and helps us understand how to cultivate healthy relationships with those who attend church with us. Whether you're looking for a new church home or you'd like to deepen your engagement in your church, we want you to ask for a free copy of the CD titled Body Life at Its Best. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/life. This offer is valid only in the United States. At Insight for Living Ministries, we are always looking for creative ways to reinforce our valued partnership with those who invest in this outreach. And today, we're pleased to provide the brand new 2018 wall calendar when you give a donation of any amount. Next year's theme dovetails naturally with today's message. It's called My Little Children Love One Another. Each month features a stirring photograph of someone in the body of Christ expressing Christian love, combined with a thoughtful scripture verse. And of course, there's plenty of room to keep track of your personal appointments and special occasions. Give a donation and request the 2018 Wall Calendar right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Remember, when you give, you're investing in this mission to bring the love of Christ to people right here in your community and even around the world. Thank you for entrusting your contributions to Insight for Living. Once again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Listen again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues to identify the discouraging signs of a dying ministry. That's next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Discouraging Signs of a Dying Ministry, was copyrighted in 2016 and 2017, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.